almost heaven. West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life was old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, blowing like the breeze. Country road, take me home to the place where I belong. West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home. Country road.
Hello, hello, hello. This is My Story of America Radio. Welcome back again this week. I'm your host, Michael T. George. You are listening to the Veritas Radio Network. And I know we've probably got several folks turning in today wondering about the story we started last week. You know, there's sometimes that when I'm sharing a story, it just will not fit into one episode. And that's exactly what happened last week. The story of Harold is one that has many twists, many turns, and as we saw last week, it is one where he didn't have freedom, and he wanted freedom. And that's really what happens when you grow up in a land of communism. Harold's story, just to get folks, if you're just tuning in this week, let me step you back just a little bit to where we started last week. Harold grew up as an East German communist. His family had actually moved from West Germany to East Germany. And so he grew up believing in communism. In fact, at age 14, he had to pledge his allegiance to the Communist Workers' Party. You know, his everything about what he was learning, his schooling, everything he was being taught, what he was being taught at the university, all geared towards communism. And he believed in it for so long until he began to see that it did not work. It didn't add up. And that all changed when he met his wife, Christiane. And after being with her and learning more about God and the Bible, he one day just threw away his chains and said, "I do not believe in the Communist Party anymore. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ." And he walked away from communism. Unfortunately, they would not allow him to leave. They began to monitor him. They began to track him. They began to make life difficult for him. And Harold could not just leave. He could not just exit, just say, "Hey, I'm walking out of East Germany." You couldn't do that. They had walls, barbed wires, guard dogs, you know, military police there to shoot people that tried to escape. They did not want you to get out of communist East Germany. And so Harold's life seemed to be going nowhere until he discovered that he actually was an Austrian citizen because his father was an Austrian citizen. So Harold, we last learned, had the opportunity to go to Berlin. He was at the Austrian embassy. He was able to get his wife and kids in there, even though the communist officials were trying to rip those kids out of his arms. He was able to get a passport, proving that he was an Austrian citizen. Everything seemed to be working so good until come to find out he still would not be able to leave the country because the East German government would not give him a visa to leave the country. So even though he had some documentation that proved that he was an Austrian citizen, the communist officials still would not let him leave. So we are now to that time. The time where we get a pick up from where we were last week and finish this incredible story of Harold, the East German communist who tried to escape from East Germany. He knew it would be a gamble. He knew it would be a risk. But he was willing to risk it all for life and liberty, faith and freedom. So get ready, my friends, once again for this week's My Story of America Radio.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough to count.
What would Harold do now? With documentation proving he was an Austrian citizen, but not being able to leave left him in a quandary. But Harold began to think. Years earlier, he had met a lawyer who had been a great help to him. When he had become a Christian, he did not want to renew his pledge of allegiance to the Communist Party or to the East German Army. And so at that time, he had consulted this lawyer who had given him great advice. He said, look, you need to do this, because if you don't, it will be treason, and you will either end up in prison or you will be shot. This lawyer was a man who apparently really cared. So I decided that I would go see him again. I really hoped he could help me with my newfound citizenship. Harold knew where he lived because he had been working on some cases for the Lutheran Church. He decided to go visit him one weekend with his paperwork in hand. He was not there at the time when he arrived, and the lawyer's wife was really very unfriendly. So Harold decided he would just sit outside and wait for him. He waited long, late into the evening, until finally he seen him come. He glanced briefly in the direction of the lawyer, but he didn't turn. He just stared straight ahead and went into his house. Harold could hear him inside having an argument with his wife. And shortly thereafter, the lawyer came out and asked Harold what he wanted. Harold said, I need to talk to you about a sensitive matter. He was not interested. He told me to just leave. Harold turned and showed the paperwork into the hands and said, read this. He took it, put it before the lawyer, and the lawyer read it carefully. And he turned to Harold and said, okay, come into my office. The lawyer began to lay out what Harold needed to do. He would have to get a clarification of his citizenship. The lawyer made 5 copies of his paperwork and dictated some letters, so Harold would need to take those to the notary for authorization. Then, with a serious look on his face, he turned toward Harold and warned him. He said, do not let these originals leave your hands under any circumstance. Do you understand? Harold acknowledged, all the while just staring over at this copy machine. He had never seen one in his entire life. He had only heard about a copy machine. See, the communist government had strictly controlled copy machines. They would not allow ordinary people to have them out of fear someone would use it to spread some non-communist material. Like Harold had said before, everything was under their control. After Harold got the necessary paperwork, he went to the one notary that was in his town. When he arrived, there was about 20 people in line waiting outside to see him, so Harold just sat down and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. Then after some time, a clerk came and asked him, what is it you need, sir? Harold picked up the copies and said to her, I need these certified. The clerk looked over the documents. She said, okay, give me the original documents. Harold grabbed them and said, no, this does not leave my hand. When the notary is ready, I will come in and have him certify these papers in my presence, but it does not leave my hand. Harold remembered what the lawyer said. He was not about to let those documents go. Now, like a pouting child, the clerk left. After a few moments, she came back and said, well, the notary has talked to the Department of Internal Affairs, and they want you to come see them immediately. The Department of Internal Affairs was like the secret police and the state security all rolled into one. They were the political leadership of the internal order, and they were in every city. Harold sat there stunned. A notary was supposed to be the most trusted person in a society, and they had now ratted him out to the Internal Affairs Department. Harold left it, but he had no intention of going to the Department of Internal Affairs. Instead, he headed straight home. He knew if he went there, if he went to that internal affairs office, he would lose all of his paperwork proving his citizenship. Harold went home dejected, and he began to write letters to all the people the lawyer had told him to contact. And at the end of every letter, he explained how he tried to have this paperwork notarized, but he was denied. After he got the letters ready, he decided to mail them, but instead of going to his hometown post office or mailing them from his place of residence, he thought better of it, because he knew the Stasi was checking people's mail, because they were monitoring everything you sent and what you received. So Harold knew, they're certainly watching my mail. He decided to take the train down to Berlin and mail the letters from there. It would be a 10-hour train ride round trip, but Harold felt that this was absolutely necessary. When he arrived in Berlin, he went to several different districts to mail each letter separately. He took every precaution he could because he knew his very freedom depended on it. The next weekend, Harold and his wife and the children traveled to see Harold's mother and his siblings. He felt it was important to tell them what he knew, that not only would he be an Austrian citizen, but his siblings would be Austrian citizens as well. When he arrived, he quickly shared the news with his brother and sister. His sister was excited. She couldn't believe it. But Harold's brother, well, that was a different story. In fact, he turned to Harold and exclaimed, "You are a traitor. What you are doing is treason. And I will tell you this, if it ever comes to a fight for survival for the Communist Party, I will make sure you are the first person they have shot." As you can tell, there was no brotherly love shown for Harold. It's because Harold's brother was a full-time worker with the youth organization of the Communist Party. Not only was it his job to turn kids into communists, which he took very seriously, he was also what we know as a rubber ear. That's somebody that was feeding information to the Stasi. From that day forward, Harold knew he would never be able to trust his brother again. Weeks passed, and finally, Harold got a meeting with the government officials to whom he had mailed the letters. When he came in and sat at a desk, there was one man in front of him and two men standing behind him. He was told, "Do not turn around, and you cannot take notes." The man looked at Harold and said, "Well, we're reviewing your case. But because your mother is an East German citizen, we've decided we will make you an East German citizen." Harold looked at them like they were crazy. He said, "I'm an Austrian citizen by birth. You cannot just make me an East German citizen." The man behind the desk was not happy with his response. He looked at Harold and said, "Well, I have a solution for you. If you will give up your Austrian citizenship, we will give you an East German passport. You will then be able to travel anywhere you want." Harold knew that this was fake, that this was phony, because even if he got the passport necessary, they would never give him visas to travel or to leave the country. Disgusted, Harold looked at them and said, "You're trying to sell me a dog that won't hunt, and this is a bridge that is not solid to walk over." He didn't trust them at all, and he was not about to relinquish his Austrian citizenship. Harold got up out of the chair and says, "You guys lie. And because you have no solutions, I'm out of here. I am an Austrian citizen." Emboldened with a new sense of determination, Harold walked out of the office. He knew they did not want to let him go to Austria. The man who had been sitting behind the desk had also told Harold about an international law that applies to citizenship. He told him, if you have dual citizenship, the country where you reside overrides your other citizenship. Harold didn't care. He didn't know if this was true or not, but he didn't want to reside in East Germany any longer. He wanted to leave. He decided the best chance to exit the country was to go back to the Austrian embassy and ask them what he needed to do. This involved another 5-hour train ride to Berlin, and he went to the embassy. After he was there for some moments and after several hours of discussion, they told him, "What you need to do, Harold, is formally apply to leave the country." Harold knew if he did this, that his entire family would face great hardship. But he didn't care. He knew there was really no other choice. With Harold's background, his children would never be able to go to a university. There would be no decent future for his family in East Germany. See, the communists actually considered someone who believed in God as mentally ill. And so those children would not be allowed to advance professionally. They would keep them out of the best universities and the best professions. Anybody that placed their trust in God instead of communism was viewed as deranged. Harold says it's such a vile and wicked form of government, born straight from the pits of hell. But with the help from the Austrian embassy, he decided he had to do this. So he wrote the application to formally leave East Germany. He had to be very careful, though, with the wording, because if it was worded incorrectly, it was a crime. He could actually spend up to 7 years in prison for improperly asking to leave the country. Finally, once he got all of his paperwork and everything together, he decided to deliver it by hand to the agency, because it was also a crime if the letter did not end up in the correct department. Harold knew it would take about 6 weeks for him to hear anything. That next 6 weeks was terrible. He just was on pins and needles waiting. During this time, the lawyer who had been at the Austrian embassy advised Harold to make sure to let his employer know that he was applying to leave. Because, Harold, if you do not do this, it's also a crime, and you will do time in prison. The next 6 weeks were tenuous at best. And what Harold did not know at the time, but he found out later, the Stasi was actually watching every hour of every day, his every step. They had his entire family under constant surveillance. Finally, after 6 weeks elapsed, he got his answer. It came in the form of one sentence: "Your request to move to Austria has been denied." Harold was devastated. But he knew they were supposed to have supplied him with a reason for the denial, and there was none there. So he took the train back again to Berlin for the 5-hour trip, headed to the Austrian embassy to see what he should do. He told them what had happened. They said, "Well, just apply again, because it's only a matter of time before they give in." "We're sorry, Harold, but this is really the best advice we can give you." So Harold applied again, and unfortunately, he was denied again. He was so frustrated by the process, yet he was determined. So he applied again, and once again, he was denied. He was furious. So once again, back on the train, he headed back to the Austrian embassy. But this time, he was determined to meet with the ambassador himself. On the train ride to Berlin, Harold prayed that he would get some answer, some relief for him and his family's situation. When he arrived at the embassy, he was escorted into an office to meet with the ambassador. After explaining the situation to him, he was told, "The Prime Minister of Austria will be coming to East Germany. And during that time, he will usually give to the East Germans a list of people who should be allowed to leave the country due to Austrian citizenship. These are considered to be hard cases, and the request will usually not be denied. I can get you on the list. It is our best chance, and it should work." Harold was very excited to hear this. And within a few minutes, he had talked to the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Austria. They gave him the green light to put him on the list. He was number 89. He was then directed down the hall to start the process again. It finally seemed like he was actually getting somewhere. He stepped into the next office, talked to the embassy lawyer, and the lawyer told him, "Harold, you also need to apply again to leave East Germany. There has to be an open application out there before we can actually put you on the list, or they will just say, 'He doesn't want to leave East Germany. They have not even submitted an application.'" So Harold once again headed home. And once again, he filled out the paperwork to apply to leave East Germany. 3 weeks passed, and the word came: denied again. Harold was now exasperated. He immediately got on a train and went down to the embassy. Furiously, he stepped into the office and asked, "How could I be denied again since I was on the list?" The man sheepishly said, "It happens sometimes. I think you should go and apply again." Harold was so upset. He was so discouraged. On the 5-hour train trip back home, He just wondered what else he could do. The next day, Harold went to work. When he was finished, he got on his bicycle and rode down to the local police station. He walked in, and he asked to see a specific major who was over the police there. It was not a typical office day, but after a few minutes, they brought Harold in to see him. Harold walked in very bold and said, "As you may know already, I was in the Austrian embassy yesterday. I want to tell you the Austrian embassy and especially the ambassador are very disappointed in how the East German government is handling the wish of the Prime Minister of Austria to get my family to the country where I belong. I can tell you the embassy is working on a note to the Foreign Department and the Internal Department of your government expressing their disappointment. And I don't know if you or whoever is responsible for denying us the allowance to leave can take the result of that letter." Immediately, the major looked and said, "Are you threatening me?" Harold said, "No, I just want to inform you so you can be prepared for what is coming." Harold then walked out the door, got back on his bicycle, and went back to work. Nothing he had said was true. He was gambling. He was playing his cards the best he could. He was rolling the dice to see what would happen. He had no success any other way, so he decided, "I'm going to be bold. I'm going to gamble. I'm going to see what happens." The next day, Christiana's wife called him at work, which was difficult because they had no phone. She had to actually go into town and use a phone booth just to make a call. She was unable to contact Harold directly, but once she was finally able to get a hold of Harold's boss, she told Harold's boss, "I really need Harold to come home immediately. It is extremely important." So Harold's boss came to Harold and said he was needed at home immediately. "You need to go now." Harold went straight home. And when he got there, Christiane handed him a small postcard that said, "You are required to report immediately to the police station." It looked like Harold's brash talk from yesterday had finally landed him in hot water. Harold thought, "We'll now probably never have the chance to leave this communist prison known as East Germany. And I may be arrested. I may never see my family again." Harold was distraught. But he looked at Christiane and he said, "I must go. I have to go. I can't just stay here. They will come looking for me if I don't." He hugged Christiane, gave her a big kiss, walked over, looked at his two children, hugged them with every bit of ounce of love that he could give them, and walked out the door. He got into his car and drove immediately down to the police station. He certainly didn't know what to expect. But when he arrived, there was about 100 people sitting inside. Harold slowly walked over. He handed the lady at the desk the card that he had received. And he asked her, Where do I need to go?" She looked at it. She looked up at Harold and said, "Come this way." Harold slowly followed her into an office where he was told to sit down. A piece of paper and a pencil were now pushed in his direction. Then she would turn and say the words that would change his life. You are listening to My Story of America Radio here on the Veritas Radio Network. I'm your host, Michael T. George, and you are listening to the incredible story of Harold, who has dealt with trying to leave East Germany after he found out that he was actually an Austrian citizen. But his brash talk, his gambling, his boldness has now landed him down at the police station. And he's been walked into a room, and now they are pushing over to him something that's about to change his life forever. Don't go away, my friends. Come back for the next exciting segment. You don't want to miss the end of this story.
What you've just heard is the reality missing from reality TV. My Story of America We'll be right back on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.